let's get going here. Let's see. Plug in.
Continue. In 800 feet, turn right onto Wendy Road.
Perfect. I don't know if you're like me when you drive, but I love to drive as long as I can without having to stop and get gas. It's kind of like, it's a little bit of a game for me. I know it's a little bit living dangerously because I love to go and when we're traveling on a trip, it drives Kaylee nuts. I mean, she just absolutely hates it.
600 feet, turn right onto Wendy Road.
Because we definitely have been caught. Well, actually, let me just tell you a story.
Then turn right onto Breckenridge Lane.
We one time we were heading to Oklahoma, and the kids were little, and we used to travel when they were small at night because it helped with getting there and not having to make as many stops and everything else. And it was great when we drove at night, but it also put some challenges in front of us as well. In fact, one of the challenges was, I guess I missed a warning. And the car was supposed to warn us when we get to low gas, and I must have missed the ding, or well, I don't remember if I was just focused on driving. Maybe I fell asleep. I don't know. But Kaylee woke up, and she looks over, and she starts freaking out. She's like, what are you doing? Like, we don't have any gas. And I very calmly said to her, you know, we'll be fine. Don't worry about it. We'll find a gas station. It's not a big deal.
And
she says, all of a sudden, she's like, Steve, we're on Stars, you know, because that's literally what it was, blinking stars. And, you know, and now I was getting a little nervous, but we were in Oklahoma and we were driving and the GPS said, so we started looking up, you know, gas stations, and it said to stay on Route 44, go 18 and a half miles and get off at the Claremore exit. And so instead of doing that, I thought, well, if we get off earlier, we'll be able to find a gas station sooner. So we did. We got out and got off at the Adair, Oklahoma exit. And, I mean, like, what does my GPS know, right? I've got a better sense of direction and where gas stations are. There's going to be one before that. And immediately, the GPS says, recalculating, and trying to get me back on the highway. And I said, no, we're going to be fine. And Kaylee was like, are you sure? It doesn't look like there's anything open. And when I looked at the GPS, it said that the town of Foyle, Oklahoma, was 8.3 miles away. And it's a little tiny town in Oklahoma. I don't know if you've ever heard of Foyle or been familiar with Foyle, but it's actually south of Bushy Head, Oklahoma. Yes, these are all real places in Oklahoma. And it was on Route 66. So I thought, well, it's Route 66, right? I mean, you know, it was one of the first highways, so this should have a gas station that's open. And so I pulled in, and the okie-dokie was closed. There was no gas open at the okie-dokie in Foyle, Oklahoma. So I started driving south on Route 66. I have to admit, I was starting to get a little bit nervous at this point because we were now on fumes, and we went down to Kong's Corner, and Kong's Corner was closed. And we kept driving, and I just remember, you know, Kaylee is praying, and then I started praying, and the kids were asleep, thank goodness. So we ended up actually driving 12 more miles to get to a gas station. And the route that I took was 25 miles, and all the stations were closed. The interesting thing is, if we would have stayed on the highway, if we would have stayed on Route 44 and gone 18.5 miles to Claremore, we would have hit the Phillips 66 station that was open later. I felt a little foolish. I remember after pumping the gas and, you know, Kaylee, every time I looked at her, she just shook her head. And then I got back into the van and she said, you know, do me a favor. Don't ever let it get that low again. So now that's what I do. I mean, we don't necessarily, I don't play the game of how far can I go before it gets to E. Sometimes Kaylee still thinks I'm playing the game when we're traveling, but, you know, that was kind of scary. We would have been in Bushy Head, Oklahoma with no gas. And, I mean, how do you tell the tow truck driver, you know, hey, we're in Bushy Head? Yeah. Well, one of the things, and I know that this isn't necessarily a specific story regarding camping and GPS, but we use our GPS all the time. It's interesting. I think it's funny how often we think that we know better than something that was designed and created to get us safely to where we need to go. You know, we think we know better. I mean, the GPS knew that there wasn't any gas stations open on the route that we were going, but instead said, go, you know, continue, and there is a gas station available. And again, like I said, I know this isn't a specific story about a camping and using GPS, but we use our GPS all the time when we go camping. In fact, last year we went to Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula, and we did this big loop around Lake Michigan. And we used our GPS, I mean, nonstop. Every time we got in the vehicle, we put in our GPS. And the goal was to find, you know, it helped us. It helped us find food and help us find gas and historical locations and cool places to kind of stop. And, you know, so it was definitely worth it for us to be able to get out there. Today, as we're on our last two messages of Basecamp, I want to talk about the tools that we use and the tools that we need to navigate life. You know, what is the GPS that we can use for life? And there's a couple of different elements that I'm going to share in our message time together. Scripture, the Holy Spirit, biblical teaching, and godly counsel. I think when we put all of those together, it becomes a GPS for our lives. So join me as we continue and as we start to wrap up our series called Basecamp.
Well, Daniel Boone, who is a great outdoorsman, one of the most iconic frontiermen that we would know, have humorously said once, "I've never been lost, but I've been bewildered once for 3 days and nights." I love that. Not admitting to being lost. Growing up, we didn't have GPS. We didn't have the electronics that we have now in our cars. They didn't come equipped with navigation systems and GPS and all of that. Instead, we had Triptych. Do you remember this? Triptych was incredible. I mean, there were layouts on this spiral-bound pieces of paper that you sent into AAA and said, "I'm going from here to here." And then a couple of days later, they gave you this triptych, and it had construction where there was different parts of construction. They had detours on there, you know, things to consider on your journey. When states were initiating new seatbelt laws, there was actually a stamp that they would put on your triptych that said, "Be careful, they're enforcing seatbelt laws in this area." Speed traps, known areas where police and state troopers sit, would be located on these triptychs. I mean, this is my dad would actually like take notes on the side in the margins of the triptych. And then you would flip the page up and down depending on where you were on the journey. And it was amazing because you always knew you were getting close to the bottom of the page because, you know, mom would start flipping back and forth to see, well, this is where we are, this is where we're going type of conversation. And the last thing, too, that was really amazing was you literally followed the highlighted route. There was literally a highlighted route on your triptych, and you followed that highlighted route. One time when we were going from Philadelphia to Orlando, we had a triptych, and it was a pretty good size because, you know, it tells you different places to stop off and see the world's largest picnic table or the world's largest ball of twine, and these historical locations. It was just really cool. It offered a different perspective of the journey that you were on. And it wasn't that impressive, but it did so many impressive things. Now, if you didn't know that I was talking specifically about a triptych this morning, you showed up to the conversation, you might have even thought that I was talking about the Bible. Now, go with me here for a second. A Bible is an incredible reference in times of construction of life, the times that we need to be under construction or are under construction. It's also great for telling us the detours, the places that we need to maybe turn here versus going there. And his word warns us that there's seasons when we need to buckle our seatbelts, either because it's going to get rocky or because we're going to be moving so fast by the Spirit's moving in power that we need to buckle our seatbelts and prepare for that journey. Many times I know in my own Bible, I write notes in the margin. Maybe you do as well. And take notes and remembering, circling different things that we found along the journey, along the route of the Bible. And each page, when you flip it, is filled with instructions. And you can get from one page to the next page and have to flip back and forth to be able to say, okay, this is where I was, this is where I'm going, and how are these interconnected? And there's really not much difference between the Bible and a map like a triptych or even a GPS. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 is a great reference point for us, and it's always one that I love to use to talk about the power and the importance of God's word. Verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired. The word literally translated there is breathed. All scripture is breathed by God and is useful to teach us what is true. So if we're going to compare that to a map or compare that to a GPS, it's how to get to the destination. Scripture is good to show us how to get to the destination. It teaches us what is true. It also is to help make us realize what is wrong in our lives. So again, that helps us that we know if we've taken a wrong turn, then we have to take a detour. We think about the Israelites and the amazing 40-year detour that they took in the wilderness. That was a huge detour because God was helping them to realize what was wrong in their lives. It corrects us when we're wrong. That's another thing that Scripture does. It corrects us when we're wrong. So basically, this is the recalculating part of Scripture where you turn and you go a different direction and all of a sudden the GPS is recalculating because we need to know where exactly are we going. And last but not least, it teaches us to do what is right. It helps us to see, to stay on course. When we realize that the scripture, that the Bible is an incredible GPS for our lives, it teaches us, helps us to realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us, and it teaches us what to do what is right. I mean, this is why God's word is so important, especially during this season of our lives. We need to be in God's word. Now, I want to share with you that this message and this sermon is more than a GPS is the Bible sermon, you know, or the Bible is our GPS sermon. That's not what this sermon is about. Instead, I want to ask a question of us this morning. Who is setting the course of your life? Who is setting the course of your life? The answer is only two options. It's either you or it's God. Who is setting the course of your life? Are you setting the course of your life? Or is God setting the course of your life? And this is a challenging question. The Bible is a part of the system, the whole system that God wants to use in order to help us to navigate life. But so is the Holy Spirit, which we're going to learn and talk about, biblical teaching, and godly counsel. And all of these together, I want to suggest to you, make up a GPS for our lives, or what I'm going to call God's positioning system. God's positioning system. Now, I know it's a little cheesy, but I'm okay with a little cheese here and there, because I think this really makes sense, especially when we understand how a GPS works and how God works and seeing the connection. So the GPS on your phone or in your car is actually powered by 31 specific satellites that orbit the Earth. In fact, it's called a constellation of satellites, and that constellation is designated and designed in order to offer you guidance, GPS, for your phone or your cars. 31 satellites that orbit the Earth. Okay, so now think about this. Each satellite bounces information off of each other in order to get you to the correct location. And I would say, and the same could be said for God's positioning system. See, God aligns a network of spiritual satellites that help us to get from point A to point B in life. In fact, if we were to go back to that other slide, I want to argue that this is a part of God's positioning system: Bible, Holy Spirit, biblical teaching, and godly counsel. Each one of these are satellites that bounce off each other to create an opportunity for you to navigate life. So keep going with me here. Just like any GPS, the first thing that you have to do in order for it to work is turn it on. You have to turn it on first. You see, one of the saddest scriptures in one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture is Genesis 3:9. And in Genesis 3:9, it's where God calls to Adam, and he asks this very simple question: where are you? Where are you, Adam? Now, what's interesting about the question, and the reason why it's so sad, is not because God lost Adam. It's because Adam lost God. You see, in that moment before this question is asked, Adam turned off the GPS of his life. He decided to go his own direction. He decided to go his own route. He decided that he wasn't going to listen to God's positioning system for his life. Instead, he was going to make the decisions on his own. And in that moment, it wasn't that God lost Adam. It was that Adam lost God. He turned it off. It reminds me of a funny story about an old farmer. And he was bragging to a room full of people that his rows were so straight in his farm or on his farm. And his seven-year-old grandson, tugs on Pawpaw's shirt. And he says, "Pawpaw, but what about those rows over there?" And he's pointing to the not-so-straight rows. And Pawpaw looked at his grandson, and as he was explaining to him the intricacies of his new tractor, the sophisticated tractor, he said, "Well, boy, that's where I turned off the GPS." Everybody chuckled in the room, but it's a really great analogy for us. You know, when we have the GPS turned on, there's an opportunity only by God to plow those straight rows. Only God can provide the power and the ability for you to plow a straight row. But when we turn that off, all bets are off. And you'll end up plowing a row that you think is straight, but then you're going to have some seven-year-old come along and go, "Wait a minute, what about those? Those aren't looking so straight, Pawpaw." So for us, I think it's important to note that God has a system that he's put in place in order to help us to navigate life. And just for a few minutes, I want to just touch on each one of these GPS satellites. So the first one we're going to just touch here briefly is Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a necessity. It's a necessary satellite that orbits and helps us to navigate through our life. It leads to and through truth. That's the role of the Holy Spirit, to lead us to and through truth. Jesus, in John chapter 16, was speaking to the disciples, and he started to indicate to them in John 16 the importance that the Holy Spirit was going to play as he was preparing to leave the earth. He says in verse 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you, like a GPS, into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me." So this is interesting. It's through the Holy Spirit that we can journey with Jesus. Many people always wonder, well, how do we journey with Jesus? How do we allow Jesus to navigate our lives and to know which way we're supposed to go? It's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that spiritual heavenly satellite that orbits our world and orbits our lives to provide spiritual guidance. And even Jesus tells the disciples here that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And he's not just going to speak on his own. He's going to speak the words that have come from me. You see, when we're in the valley moments of life, our goal in the valley moments is always to plug in the mountain in our GPS. Because we don't like being in the valley. And instead, we would much rather be on the mountain of life. But we know that it's sometimes hard. And maybe for many of us, it even seems unrealistic to constantly live in the mountain experience. Well, I want to bring a different perspective this morning. I don't think that when we're in the valley, we should just set the destination to our GPS to be to the mountain. Instead, I think that the point is to journey with Jesus. And that means whether we're in the valley moments of life, or we find ourselves up on the mountain peak, or we find ourselves somewhere in between, this needs to be the goal, to journey with Jesus through any and all of those experiences. The next satellite I want to talk about is biblical teaching. Biblical teaching. And let me just first tell you that there is a lot of great teaching out there. But I think the question that we have to ask ourselves is it biblical? Is it biblical? And when you hear a great teaching, or you read a great article, or when we're looking for spiritual insights, we have to ask ourselves, where are they getting the content for that article, or the content for that message, or is the preaching biblically based? Biblical teaching is important. It's the difference, really, in my opinion, between like Apple Maps and Waze. If you've ever used Apple Maps, it's kind of a bit of a mess. You're going to get to your destination, but it's going to take some work. It's going to take some interpretation. You're going to have to dig a little bit deeper than just, you know, point A to point B with Apple Maps. Now, like Waze is way more correct. Like it's way more accurate. And in fact, I always joke with my family and I say, trust the Waze, because we've used all these different forms, Google Maps and Waze and Apple Maps and everything else. And depending on where we're going and depending on how long we're going there and what we need, we use a different GPS for each of those areas. So if we take the digital age that we're in, you take the amount of time that we have right now in this season of our lives, in this season and this moment, it really can actually equal a lot of confusion. Because we're seeking out all these digital resources, but are we making sure that, like I said earlier, are they based biblically? So an example of good biblical teaching actually can be found in the Old Testament in Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, you don't need to turn there. I'm just going to reference a story from Nehemiah. You can read it later. It's really a great story to help us understand the role of biblical teaching and how important it is. So in Nehemiah chapter 8, it's actually when the people of Israel come back to Jerusalem. And the first thing that they do is that they gather around and they have a worship service in the town square, basically, in the courtyard. And everybody gathers together. Thousands of people come together and they have this worship service. And Ezra, the prophet, actually stands up and he starts early in the morning and he begins to read scripture. Now, he read scripture for 6 hours. Yeah, you heard that correctly. He literally read scripture to a courtyard filled with thousands of people that were there to worship, that God had returned them to Jerusalem, and he read scripture for 6 hours. Now, here's where the biblical teaching comes in. It wasn't just that he read scripture and that's the biblical teaching. It says right after that in Nehemiah 8, verse 8, that the Levites, or the priests at the time, they did something specific after Ezra was done. Look at this scripture. It says that they read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning. They interpreted what Ezra was reading. And so the meaning of what was being read, helping people to understand each passage. I love this because this is a great foundation for biblical teaching. The fact that not only is it just hearing what somebody says or experiencing what someone says, but there is a going deeper into the knowledge of why they're saying it, and is it biblical? The Bereans in the New Testament in the book of Acts were known to be a people who didn't just take Paul's word for it. They dug deeper into the scripture. That's why biblical teaching is important. And so all that to say, in light of the GPS conversation, it's selecting the right voice for your guidance, for your navigation. It's selecting the right voice. So the last satellite that I want to talk about is godly counsel. Now, this is an important satellite, and it's probably the one that you need to be most aware of who is speaking into your life and what are you saying when you speak into someone else's life. So, in fact, scripture indicates that there's a blessing of both receiving and giving wise words, that there's a blessing associated with that. So here's an example of receiving wise words. And Proverbs, if you have the opportunity, is chock full of great wisdom. But in Proverbs 15, verse 22, it says, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. You don't get advice. Plans can go really wrong. And many advisors bring success. That's an example of receiving wise words. But you want to make sure that the advisors that you're bringing into that conversation are based in God's word, and that they're prayerfully considering their words and they're choosing them carefully. And in truth be said, there's, again, great stories in the Old Testament where leaders did not heed the advice of those who were seeking God. Instead, they sought the advice. Excuse me. And instead, they sought the advice of their friends and ended up creating a lot of issues. I like Proverbs 12:15 in light of the GPS conversation. Proverbs 12:15 reads, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others." Fools, they go on their own route. They don't listen to the GPS. They say, "I'm going to just do this on my own." They think that their way is right. But again, the wise listen to others. Here's an example of giving wise words. So those two were examples of receiving wise words. Here's an example of giving wise words. In Proverbs 20, verse 15, wise words are more valuable than much gold and many rubies. How you speak to somebody, giving them life, encouraging them, knowing that if they're asking challenging questions, if you don't know the answer, you simply say, "I don't know, but we'll find out together." Your wise words do matter. If you're going to give and receive godly counsel, here's one of the things I want to point out to you. I pray that you heed the same warning that Paul shared to the people in Corinth when he said to them that you better have the mind of Christ. It's basically the reference that he makes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You better have the mind of Christ. All of this really goes back to our personal relationship with Christ. That's the center line. That's the plumb line. That's the highlighted route. That's the utilizing all the satellites that God puts up in his godly positioning system in order to help us to navigate this life. Many of you have questions about what's going on. Seek God and seek godly counsel. Seek the biblical teaching. Pray to God and listen to the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's all new to you. And I would encourage you to take baby steps. Start somewhere. Start taking a step. Download the Bible app on your phone. Just pick up the Bible and don't read from Genesis, because you're gonna get to Exodus 23 and you're just gonna stop. So don't do that. Read John. Start in John. You know, right now, one of the things that we need is to read through the book of James. We need to be reading James as a country, as a community, as a neighborhood, in order to hear the impact that our own lives can have on the lives of others around us. So I want to go back to the original question that I posed at the beginning of the message. Who is setting the course of your life? Who is navigating the course of your life? Are you listening to yourself? And you say, "Well, nobody else has seemed to help me, so I'm just going to do it on my own." Or are you listening to God? Because the answer is either you or God. Now, I want to make a prayer. I want not make a prayer, but I want us to look at a prayer in Scripture in Psalm 25. And this is kind of like a GPS prayer. And what I'd like to do actually is there's two verses, verses 4 and verse 5. And I'd like for you to, if you can, to say this verse with me. And I want to repeat this out loud and to make it a prayer this morning. So let's read this together. Psalm 25, 4. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. I would encourage you to go back and to read Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5, and to make that your godly positioning prayer. And to know that God is the one who will lead us into truth. He is the one that saves us. He's the one that we can put our hope in. And he's the one that's going to show us the road and the right path. When you pray this prayer, I believe that the truth of Isaiah 30, 21 will be enacted in your life. Isaiah 30, 21, it simply says, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. I love the other translations of this passage that literally say, this is the way, now walk in it. And I pray that as many of us are having to make difficult decisions, as many of us are facing difficulties around us, as we're trying to navigate the world and the life, and not just right now, but what has been and even what will be and all the questions that come from that, I pray that we quiet ourselves enough. I pray that we allow God's positioning system and the satellites of our lives to orbit around us, to bounce information off of in order to lead us, but ultimately that we hear the still small voice of God behind us saying to us, this is the way, walk in it. I don't know about you, but I desire that today. As I was reading in Isaiah, God's word said, come to me with open ears. In order for us to truly hear the voice of God, we need to have our ears opened. And maybe simply this morning, the step that you need to take is to pray, God, open my ears to your voice. This series has been fun. We've got one more. Next week, we're going to talk about shelter. But in this series, we've used these different objects of camping in order to help build our toolkit of faith. We started with fire, talked about God's presence, and fishing. The fact that God fished for us and that we should fish for people. We talked about rope and that rescued people rescue people. We talked about a carabiner and putting our full weight and our full trust in God. And then last week we talked about light and how we need to allow our light to shine out in the darkness. And not just that, but allow God's light to shine in us. And then today, we talked about a GPS, God's positioning system. And that's to remind us, this is the way, now walk in it. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, again, we are thankful for just these images that you have placed before us to teach us this incredibly valuable lesson for our lives. Lord, I pray that we don't just look at these tools and say they look nice, but we would put them into action, that we would pick up the light, that we would use the rope, that we'd be reminded through the fire of faith that you are with us, that we would fully trust you and use the carabiner for the spiritual carabiner for the full weight. And then today, Lord, as we've already have indicated your positioning system for our lives, that we, number one, would turn it on. Number two, that we would choose wisely the voice of navigation for our lives. Lord, again, you told us to come to you with open ears. And I pray that prayer over each of us, no matter where we find ourselves today, that we would come to you with open ears so that we can hear that still small voice say, this is the way, now walk in it. Again, Lord, we praise you. We're thankful for this time. And I pray for a wonderful rest of the day for our folks. And we ask this in your name. Amen.